Keep those names coming in on Twitter for D-Mace's drunk eagle. Not his drunk uncle. He's got a drunk eagle. At least we think he does. We got about 30 more minutes to name Derek's eagle. And we'll award somebody a prize. We've had a ton of activity on Twitter at 1025 The Game. This is the eagle that Derek talks to before his pick six picks and his silly underdog picks. So far he's 0-for on the season. Let's bring in Rod Reed. He's not 0-for on the season. His Tigers are off to a 2-0 start. He's the head coach at TSU. Coach, how you doing?
I'm great. What about you guys?
Oh, we're hanging in there. We're having fun today. And with these storms, and certainly we know what's happened down in Florida, you guys have a 5 o'clock kickoff Saturday night at Raymond James Stadium. Today, earlier, it was announced that the Bucks on Sunday will host the Bears there at Raymond James Stadium. So is it fair to say that everything is a go with you guys in Florida A&M?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a go. You know, I do believe that South Florida is playing it. I don't know who they play, but they play there on Friday night. And then we play Saturday, and the Bucks play on Sunday. So I think everything is fine. I don't think that Tampa was hit as hard as projected at first. Hopefully, you know, everything goes well. We hadn't gotten any bad news. So as far as I'm concerned, we're preparing just as like the game is still on. That's what we've been told. So, yeah, the game is on.
All right, good stuff. A really good crowd, good atmosphere in Memphis this past weekend as you guys eked out a 17-15 victory over Jackson State. Are you starting to learn that your guys can handle close games, or do you want some blowouts to make things a little bit easier?
I'd love to have some blowouts to make things a little bit easier. I mean, it is that was a nail-biter. You know, we did everything we could to give that game away. But our guys found a way to win, and, you know, that was a test of our team's character. I think defense really stood tall on several occasions because we didn't quite get it done offensively. We missed a couple of explosive plays. We dropped some balls. We got down on the one. We took points off the board at one point and got down to the one-yard line and couldn't punch it in on fourth down. So we got some really good out for us. But the defense stood tall all night, and they made play after play after play. And, you know, when it got down to crunch time, they stood tall again and forced them to attempt a game-winning kick, which the first one actually went through, but we called the timeout there right before the kick. And then he missed on the second attempt.
Which is exactly what happened last night in the Monday Night Football game with the Chargers and the Broncos. Yep, Chargers kicker nailed the 44-yarder, but Denver called a timeout. He had to re-kick, and he missed it. He got blocked.
Wow. Exact same scenario there.
Is that the mentality you have, or is it just that's something you felt on Saturday night to do? Or is that what you do?
I thought for a college football player, I can remember back in Jacksonville State a couple of years back. It may have been the year before we went to the playoffs. We were down there, and we kicked the field goal to win the game. And then we had an offsides penalty or illegal motion penalty, and they moved it back 5 yards. And, you know, when we had to re-kick it, I mean, he just bombed us. I mean, it wasn't even close. So I was just kind of along those same lines thinking that, okay, I want to get it close enough where they're going to snap this ball and he continues through the kick and see how he does on the first one. I'd have been more nervous had he missed the first one, you know, and he would have been able to make some corrections on. But he made the first one and, you know, called timeout just in time as the ball was being snapped. And then when he had to re-kick it, he just left it a little wide. So it worked out.
We talked to you, Rod, before your game to kick off the season on that Thursday night down in Atlanta at Turner Field against Georgia State. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since. Congratulations on that win. Certainly that was the way you wanted to kick off your season and get things rolling. But I thought that was a nice win for you guys to go down there and beat Georgia State.
Yeah, it was. It was a great way to kick off the season, you know, against the FBS opponent. You know, when you play those games, a lot of people don't expect you to win. But I felt real confident in our team going down there, especially, you know, them having a new staff and a lot of turnover. You know, it was a lot of unknowns about both teams there. So once we got through the filling out process, I thought defensively we played well. I thought offensively we moved the ball all night. And it was just a total team effort. And the kids stayed together, and, you know, we played as one, and we came out with the dub.
We're talking with Rod Reed, TSU's head football coach. Now, Coach, you just talked about your offense, how they left a few plays on the field this past weekend How do you get your team to stay focused after a big win the first week at Georgia State and then having to come back and put together another well-played game? Because that has to be kind of difficult somewhat for a young team.
It is, and you think about it, but just happened that team that we were playing next was Jackson State.
Exactly.
And you know, that's a rivalry game. And like I was telling, I felt like there was just a bit of a letdown there because, you know, you come off of beating the FBS opponent, now you're playing. And it's just like them going to play TCU. They had to figure coming from TCU, okay, we're going to play probably a more evenly matched team now. We'll have a better chance of winning. But when you beat an FBS team, you know, you get a little chip on your shoulder. And I was telling those guys all week long, look, you know, you're dealing with an injured animal here. You know, if you back a hurt dog in the corner, it's going to come out fighting. And if you let them come out fighting and you don't stop that charge, that initial charge, that adrenaline rush, you can be in for a long night. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, we were in a dogfight all night long. It was a nip and tuck. You know, the momentum shifted, you know, several times in that game. But, again, I thought that tested the character of our football team. And, you know, if you're going to play championship football, you got to be able to win an ugly game like that. And we were able to persevere and come out with the W.
Did I read that correctly? Did you guys play in front of almost 50,000?
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I think it was like 47,800 or something like that.
Wow.
47,900.
What a great atmosphere.
I was sitting here looking at the play-by-play a little earlier. They normally put it on there somewhere.
I think you're right. I think it was just under 48,000. Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're used to that. You know, that game, the Southern Heritage Classic, Fred Jones, you know, does a fantastic job with that every year. And, you know, it averages between 42 and 47. You know, we've played in as much as, I think, 55 there at that game. So it's a great game for both institutions financially and just culturally for HBCU football.
Now, you have Florida A&M this week, obviously, Coach. What would be some of the problems or some of the things that you addressed this week with your team in regards to a Earl Holmes coach type team? What do they do well? What don't they do well? What are some things you think you could exploit somewhat? I know I don't want you to give up your game plan, but there's always something that you feel as a team that, hey, if we do this, then we give ourselves an opportunity to win the football game.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, Alex Wood is the head coach.
Oh, Alex Wood, yeah.
Yeah, but Earl's my boy, though, but Alex is the head coach down there now. But we got to be able to run the football better. I thought we ran it well at times, and, you know, with Treon back there, you got to do a threat back there. But I think, you know, our running backs have to be able to do a better job of running the football. Anytime you can be physical and run the football and you are on defense able to stop the run, I really like our chances. You know, when you force a team to have to throw the football to beat you and they got to beat you 46, 50 times, then you give yourself a better chance, in my opinion, because I always say, you know, two things happen, you know, when you throw the football. I mean, three things happen when you throw the football, and two of them are bad. You know, so we got to be physical at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, and we got to execute. You know, we got to make plays that we're supposed to make. I think we left a few on the table on offense. And defensively, we got to do a better job of just tackling at the point of that. We missed some open field tackles the other night on defense, but all in all, I thought we tackled well. But, you know, don't have much complaints about the defense, just we got to be more physical at the point of attack on offense.
You brought up the offense several times in this interview. What would you and your staff like to see more out of Treon Harris? Not to single out one player, but, you know, the quarterback gets all the praise and the quarterback gets all the criticism. What are you seeing out of Treon Harris the first two games that you would like to see more of and improve on to help the offense moving forward?
Well, to be honest with you, I think he just got to continue to take what the defense gives him. And, you know, he's very nifty with his feet. And when it's not there, he can pull it down and get you 4 or 5 yards. I would like to see him not take so many hits, you know, and get down. But I think that our receivers got to help him out. We had about 5 drop balls the other day. I think he was 5 of 17, you know, 9 of 17 in bat. But we got to catch the ball. And I think that's where we were lacking. We dropped 4 or 5 balls the other day. And if you're able to run the football, they can't stack the box. You know, Jackson State, you know, they stacked the box the other day and they blitzed, you know, a lot. And we've got to be able to, you know, pick up blitzes and win. in the one-on-one situations on the outside. And I think we had the guys to do that, and I think that was a learning curve for us in that game. You know, Jackson State showed us some stuff that we really needed to see and probably exposed a few things. So we got something to work on and get better at.
D-Mace cringes when he hears receivers dropping balls.
Yeah.
He's like an old war vet when he hears that.
That guy doesn't drop that many balls. We got a D-Mace type kid on this team, Patrick Smith, a special. Mace, you got to come check him out.
All right, I will do that.
And if you guys win on Saturday, are you just going to petition to keep all your games on the road this year?
No. Man, I can't wait to play a home game. You know, I was talking to my wife about that last night. I got home, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. We were watching a lot of film. And she's like, well, don't forget, you know, you got to pack this. You got to leave early Friday for it. And I was like, oh, man. I said, who do we play next week? And it's another road game.
Another road game.
That's
right.
UK Martin. Goodness. I think that this is a good test for our football team. If we can come through this gauntlet, I feel pretty good about where we're going to be. And we'll get some guys back, I think, after that Martin game. We've lost our starting center, Thomas Martin. We lost him in camp. And, I think he'll be back either Martin or the game after. And, you know, Chris Rowland is getting oiled back up. You know, he returned a few kicks the other night, still wasn't 100%. But, if we can get healthy at the right time and continue to win on the road, I think we could be a force down the stretch.
Best of luck, Coach, against Florida A&M. Keep it going, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, man. Go Big Blue.
All right, that is Rod Reed, TSU head football coach. They're off to a 2-0 start, as you just heard, doing all this on the road, playing in front of big crowds. Really cool. Mm. Sold out the game at Turner Field. Now, they have it obviously tarped off, but they've sold it out to where they had it configured for the football game. Mm. They go down there and beat an FBS team in Georgia State. They went to Memphis last week, as you just heard, Jack State, almost 48,000 at that game, of course, the Heritage Classic. And then this game against Florida A&M will be at Raymond James Stadium down in Tampa. That'll be Saturday night at 5 o'clock. TSU off to the start, ranked now in FCS. I think they're like 22nd or 23rd.
Well, good for that program.
And they keep winning. They're just going to keep moving up the polls. We'll come back. Good stuff from Rod Reed. We appreciate it. As always, we will come back with more of 3D. Wrap up this Tuesday edition next on 102.5 The Game.